vision determines destiny. And if our vision is blurred, then our journey towards our destination gets confusing.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, friends. You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. So blessed to be your host here with pastor and author, senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Mark Job. Wherever you are today listening to Straight Talk, we want you to know we're praying for you. We're so encouraged to have a part of your life, and we believe God has a word for you today. Pastor Mark, you're taking us through the series that you've called Rewrite, Making All Things New, about how God rewrites our stories, and this message is titled, What Do You See? And you're talking about the vision and that we have in our life and how that affects our future. Tell us a little bit about it.
Absolutely. This is an incredible story in the Gospel of John. And I am convinced, Joshua, that God wants to open some eyes today.
Yes.
Some spiritual eyes so that we can start seeing in a brand new way, because many people's vision has been robbed or extremely distorted. And here's the thing. Get this, Joshua. Vision affects destiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so in this story, you're going to look at a man whose vision was restored and whose destiny was changed. So some of you right now, because your vision is distorted, the enemy has robbed your sight. You don't see where you're going. You don't see the future. You don't have clarity. And so you're disoriented. You're rambling around. You're bumping into things. But God wants to give you back vision so he can restore your destiny.
Yeah. And sometimes we stop looking. We assume this is how it is. This is how it's always going to be. We need to be awakened. This message today can be that for somebody.
Absolutely. Don't get used to your blindness.
May God give you a fresh vision today as you listen, friends. We're in John chapter 9, verse 1 through 41. This message is the first half. It's called, What Do You See?
I want to talk to you about opening your eyes to see the reality that God sees instead of the images that you see. I believe that what you see is different than what God sees. I believe that we see things distorted. And I think that your vision is important because, listen, this is important. Vision determines destiny. And if our vision is blurred, then our journey towards our destination gets confusing. How about it? How many of you have to wear glasses at night when you drive? How many of you are dangerous when you don't wear glasses at night when you drive? Exactly. Like, be careful, because this is dangerous. All you see is big blurry signs, and it's confusing. So the clarity of your vision is important to reach the destination that God has called you to. And some of you right now are kind of driving in circles, blurred about your destiny, and God today wants to open some eyes. That's been my prayer for you as I've thought of today's service. Now, here's what I want you to know. You know, we can see the same image, but not see the same thing. We can look at the same thing, but people see different things when they look at the same image. Did you ever play the game as a child where you looked at a cloud and tried to figure out what you saw in that cloud? And someone says, well, I see a horse, a head's horse. And someone else says, I see an Indian. And someone else says, I see a man. Someone else says, I see a woman. You're looking at the same image, but you're seeing different things. I have an illustration for you. Look up at the screen right now, and I want you to tell me what you see. Yeah, not that. Okay, how many of you here today, how many of you see a duck? Raise your hand. How many of you see a rabbit? Raise your hand. Okay, they were like, yeah, I see it. Now, okay, you see it, right? All right, second image. How many of you, look at this image for a moment. How many of you see an old woman in this picture? Yeah? How many of you see a young woman that's kind of has her face turned? How many of you see that? How many of you have no idea what you're looking at? You're just like, I don't see anything. You're just like, I can't tell. Some of you are kind of in that category. You just don't see anything. The point that I'm making is this. Some of you are still trying to see, like, how do they see that? How do they see that? The point that I'm making is this. Is that we can look at the same thing We can be looking at the same thing, but our interpretation of what we look at is different. Some of you are looking at your life, and your interpretation about your life and your world and your journey and your destiny is very different than God's interpretation of your life, your journey, and your destiny. And so my prayer is that God would open up your eyes to see in a fresh new way. We all have those double take experiences in life, don't we? I was just talking to our worship leader yesterday, and he told me that some of you know our worship leader, John Palazzi. Let's give it up for John, right? He serves faithfully. Some of you think that he just spends his time in a studio during the week, you know, strumming on a guitar and coming up with lyrics and practicing his music. But what you don't know is John's actually a union apprentice electrician. So he spends his week on job sites working on electricity. And so he told me that last week that he was on a job site and he had his helmet on. And he had his work goggles on and he had his work uniform on and he was just working at the job. And he said, some guy came up to me and said, I know you. And he says, do you know me? He said, no. The guy said, no, but I know you. Where do I know you from? And John was just like, I don't know you, buddy. No, I know you. Where do I know you? He said, do you sing? And John says, yes. Do you sing in church? And John says, yes, New Life, that's it. I know you from New Life. And he said his foreman, his boss was on the job, said, you sing? John said, yeah. He said, sing me something. So John starts singing, how great is our God. He said, okay, we're here to work, not to sing. So, but you know, sometimes we see somebody and it doesn't click. We're not really sure. We have to look again to remember, what do I see in this person? Do I see a foreman or do I see a union electrician or do I see a worship leader? What we see, sometimes we have to take a double look. In this passage in John, this is a story of Jesus encountering a man that's been blind from birth. He's 38 years old, but he's never once seen the light, a color, his friend's face. And Jesus has an encounter with him, in which he opens up more than just his physical eyes. He begins to open up his spiritual eyes. And so John chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. You can follow along in your Bible or the scripture on the screen. It says of Jesus, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, that's what you call a teacher in those days, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God may be, here it goes, displayed in him. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I love this story because Jesus has these random, seemingly random encounters with people. And when Jesus steps into their life, they're usually never the same. But I want you to notice the first phrase that it says in the scripture. It says that Jesus saw him. Think about it. The blind man was sitting there begging, unaware that Jesus had even seen him. Maybe shaking his can with a coin in the bottom of it. On the corner, oblivious to the fact that Jesus, the creator, the God-man, the miracle worker, the healer, the savior, that Jesus had actually fixated his eyes on him while he was just shaking a can, asking for money, anybody have something? Jesus was watching him. He was unaware that the Son of God was actually watching him. Jesus saw him before he even knew that Jesus was looking. Can I tell you this? Some of you are living your life right now unaware that Jesus is looking. You're living your life with this illusion that you're just one more face in the crowd, that God has bigger concerns than your life and your destiny and your heart, unaware of the fact that the God of the universe has fixated his eyes on you, that he's looking at you, that he knows your name and he knows your story, that he knows your heart and he knows your attitude, your struggles, the good days and the bad days. God has been watching some of you intently, speaking, watching, observing you well before you even knew that he was watching. God sees you before you ever see him. I want you to know that, because for some of you, it's a huge divine revelation that God is watching and seeing you. And then it goes on to tell us that the disciples also saw the blind man. But you know, the disciples, as soon as they saw someone with a problem, a hindrance, a handicap, they already saw this person and judged him. The first thing they ask, hey, why is this guy born blind? Don't we ask that when a tragedy happens? Have you ever asked that when someone gets hit by a car? Why them? You see someone that's crippled from birth. Why did that happen? When we see tragedy that's unexplainable, something that happens that we don't know why it was them and us, we ask why. And sometimes we like to sort of create our own scenarios. And oftentimes our scenarios are judgmental scenarios. The disciples looked at it and they said, who sinned? Immediately they thought someone had sinned. Did he sin or did his parents sin? Well, think about that for a second. Did he sin? I mean, he was born blind. So he would have had to sin in his mother's womb to be born blind. Now, that sounds crazy, ludicrous, but there was actually some rabbis in those days, some Jewish rabbis, that believed a baby could actually sin in its mother's womb. Hello? But they believed that somehow this blind man was born blind because of the mistakes or the failures of his parents, or because of something that he had done wrong. Immediately, they judged the bad circumstances and thought that it was due to faults or mistakes that someone had committed. Yet Jesus dispels that when he talks to them and his disciples. And Jesus said, this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God may be displayed. There's the word, displayed in him. Now, it's interesting that Jesus uses the word displayed.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, What Do You See? It's from our series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 9. His message, What Do You See?
What's a display? A display is It's a showcase that allows you to see something more clearly. We display trophies in a high school. We display valuable things in cabinets or in museums. We go to see the display. And Jesus is saying that this man was born blind to display the works of God. You know, about 5 years ago now, my wife and I celebrated a momentous occasion, huge occasion, 25 years of marriage. Yeah, whoa. I know if you've ever met my wife, you said, no, you can't be married 25 years. Did you get married when you were 10 or what? 25 years. I know that applause was for her, not for me, but you know, like, wow, you put up with this guy 25 years. That's great. But when we were about to celebrate our 25th year of marriage, I started asking my wife, so what do you want to do? How do you want to celebrate this? And so she was kind of thinking about different things, and then she kind of dropped some hints, and you know, she was talking about the ring that I had given her when we first got married and I was really poor and just started and I was 21. And she said, you know, that's a nice ring. It's cute. It's cute. But, you know, after 25 years, maybe we could think of an upgrade. And like, okay, got it, upgrade. And so I was glad she wanted an upgrade in the ring and not an upgrade in her husband. So it's like, all right, yeah, we'll take a look at that. So we started shopping for some rings and looking for a diamond to put in that ring. I know nothing about jewelry. I know nothing about diamonds. But I learned something in the process of looking at jewelry stores and looking at diamonds. They would show me a diamond, and they would say, what do you think about this? And it was like, it looks all right to me. I always ask, what's the price? But no, it looks all right to me. The cheaper it was, the better it looked to me. Yeah, that looks better all the time. My wife had nothing. She didn't let me go there, though. So, but I noticed this one thing about diamonds. That you could get a diamond that to me looked ordinary, didn't look too extraordinary, didn't look great to me. But if you took that diamond, they would say, well, let me show you this. And they'd go back and they'd get a box and a ring inside of a box with black velvet. And then they would open up the box and they would say, what do you think about this? And I'm like, whoa, that looks nice. Now, what I realized later, it was the same ring, but when there was a dark background, the ring would pop out. It stood out. Black velvet makes it shine. The darker the background, the brighter the color in the diamond. And some of you know where I'm going with this, don't you? Who sinned? The parents or him that he was born blind? And Jesus said, no, this happened to display the works of God. You see, some of you look at your life and you look at where you were born, the family you were raised in, the difficulties you had, the failures of your early years, the weaknesses in your life, the handicaps that you've experienced in your life, and to you, they're part of your past dark background. Some of you have chapters that you wish you could forget about or erase or tear out of your book. But really, God says, No, what you look as a handicap, what you look as a hindrance really serves as the dark background to pop out the brilliance and the glory of God's work in your life. It's your background that pops out the glory of God. It works to be a display to the goodness and the glory of God. Listen to me. Your greatest hindrance becomes the dark background for God's brightest display. Some of you walk around with your head down low, ashamed of who you were or where you came out of, without realizing that it's your background that really gives the greatest glory to God. Because when God steps in and you see the brightness of his glory working in your life, it's what God does in your life now. It's what God has been doing in your life that makes your background push up the miracle of God's work in your life. So take another look. What you see as a hindrance may actually turn out to be an advantage. Number two, what you see as humiliation is actually the road to liberation. So the Bible says in verse 6 that after Jesus said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud. What? Now, this is a very unusual passage. And it kind of strikes you when you see what Jesus actually did. Spitting in every culture is sort of nasty. I don't care where you're from. You spit at someone, it's not a good thing. When people are mad in certain cultures, they spit on the ground and then look at you like, that's what I think about you. Or spit on your shoes. Or if you're in junior high in a playground and kids spit in your face, that was the worst offense. They spit at you. That was the worst thing that they could do to you. Because spit is just not, it's kind of gross. And Jesus takes two things that we usually try to wash off, that we usually consider unsanitary, spit and mud. And he mixes the two. And actually, he puts it on this guy's eyes. He makes mud out of spit. And he rubs it on the eyes of a blind man. Now, how many of you know that we tend to sanitize scripture? But spit is spit, whether it's Jesus' spit or anybody else's spit. So I just kind of imagine the blind guy standing there. Jesus is talking with his disciples. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if he made any noise or what. I don't know what it sounded like. Come on, don't sanitize it. There's just sort of a spit on the ground. And the blind man saying, like, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? And the disciples are going, ooh, gross. His friends are saying, nasty. Jesus is rubbing his feet, rubbing his hand there. And then he goes to the blind man. His friend says, hey, watch out, dude. This guy, you know, and then he rubs it on. Oh, nasty. And I just wonder, why would Jesus do that? I mean, this guy's already humiliated as it is. He's already broken as it is. He seems like he's already down as it is. This is like kicking a guy when he's down. Jesus, why would you do this? Here's what I want you to know. Nothing in Scripture happens out of coincidence. There's a purpose and a plan in every story in Scripture. Every story that you read in Scripture has a meaning to it. There's a message to it. A profound, powerful lesson that reveals the heart of God and says something about us. Now, there's a lot of scholars, I've read a lot of commentaries on why people assume that Jesus spit. Some people believe that Jesus was defying the Pharisees of the day because it actually happened on the Sabbath, and to spit on a Sabbath was against the laws of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious, strict religious leaders that made rules upon rules upon rules, and they believed that no work should be done on the Sabbath, and so they made rules about not working on the Sabbath, and so they believed that if you spit, you made mud, and making mud was work, and people, when they do bricks, they mix mud with dirt, and so it could be considered as work. So it was forbidden to spit on the Sabbath. It was also forbidden to look in the mirror on the Sabbath. You say, why? Well, if you look in the mirror, this is true. The Torah explains this. You look in a mirror, you could see that solitary gray hair. And if you look in a mirror and see that solitary gray hair, you'd be tempted to pluck that hair. Like, no. And if you pluck that hair, it would be considered work. So you weren't allowed to look in the mirror just in case you were tempted to work. That's, seriously, that's a rule. I never had that problem, by the way, but... But I believe there was something much deeper than trying to aggravate the Pharisees happening here. I believe that Jesus had a purpose and a plan for this man. You see, what happens in this passage is that Jesus is initiating a miracle. But just because Jesus initiates a miracle doesn't mean that the miracle is complete until we join in the process of completing that miracle. Jesus could heal anybody however he wants to heal. In Scripture, Jesus sometimes healed someone without even being present. He said, be healed, and they were miles away and were healed. Jesus sometimes pronounced healing on someone and they were healed. Jesus sometimes touched the person and they were healed. So Jesus could have healed this blind man however he chose to heal him, but he decided, I'm going to make mud and put it on his eyes. Because I want to start the miracle, but let you know that the miracle will not be completed. It will not come to fruition. It will not manifest itself until between the mud and the manifestation, there is a walk of humiliation. And so this man has to get up with a bunch of people watching him, and he has to walk down the road because Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he walks with mud on his face. Imagine the humiliation. What is driving him is this fact that I believe what Jesus said is true. And I'm willing to walk down a path of obedience no matter how hard it is or humbling it is, because I believe at the end of this path there is liberation and healing and a miracle. So I will walk even down this path of humiliation, believing God and trusting Him that He will do what He said He will do.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago from New Life Community Church at our Midway location with his message entitled, What Do You See? It's from his current series called Rewrite, Making All Things New. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.